just dropped in the middle of rural Pennsylvania to this family with this guy named John. They end up, you know, falling in love kind of thing, heartbreak, star-crossed lovers, not meant to be, that whole kind of thing. But it kind of goes through all of the family and, like, how him just being there kind of, you know, touches everybody, how even a passing stranger can really affect you in your life.
What a great premise for a book. Really interesting, especially just sort of finding yourself somewhere and having to figure it all out, as you said, literally and figuratively. So please, whenever you're ready.
All right. Go get Ma. The man spoke again, never breaking eye contact with Tom as he stared down the gun's barrel. Ralph stood up quickly with his bat, anxiously watching Tom as he backed towards the exit, like if he stopped looking, Tom might grow into the boogeyman and eat him. He watched as the kid reached behind himself and turned the doorknob with one hand, though with slight difficulty, and left the room. So there he was, beaten up, handcuffed to a bed in a way he didn't like, tired, hungry, and with a dirty old hunting rifle leveled at his face. He wasn't going anywhere, so he figured he might as well just keep looking at what he could. Tom looked at the man, who only had to be a year or two younger than he was. The guy was built stocky with sturdy shoulders, like any farm boy would be. His eyes were burning holes in Tom's head, but they were a nice shade of cornflower. Their shine was darkened by thick brows crunched into a scowl. Tom bet if he didn't look so angry, they would actually be quite beautiful. The glow of the lamp, which was now dimmed in contrast to how it blinded Tom earlier, glinted on the cerulean shadows of the man's iris. His hair was still hard to grasp. It was longer and brushed against the man's cheekbones and neck, like a greaser's hair, except without any product. The color was indecipherable. Was it blonde? Brown? Tom couldn't tell. The closest color he could think of was flood water, murky and brown with gold streaks flashing in the light. Tom snapped from his frustrating task of matching a color by the sound of floorboards creaking and a flood of voices. It sounded like two women, one younger than the other, but both pestering the voice whom Tom could only assume was Raph. Just as Tom was starting to focus on what they were saying, the door busted open. In the doorway stood a frazzled-looking woman in her nightdress and carrying a bag by her side. Behind the older woman stood a younger lady, perhaps just settling into her 20s, who was carrying a plate and glass of water, and bringing up the rear was Raph. Tom's belly ached a little as he smelled the ham and cheese sandwich from where he was on the bed. His stomach gave a loud gurgle as all three furthered into the room, the older coming to sit by the bed, the younger moving to set the food on the vanity, and Raph standing in the spot where he had previously been sleeping. The man was still aiming at Tom's head, but his stare now flitted between the woman with her bag on the bed's edge and Tom. With a hard sigh, the woman on the bed stuck her hand out and pushed the rifle's barrel to the ground.
Wow. What a picture you painted.
Thank you.
Any comments?
Yeah, I was going to say that's like such, like, I was going to ask how long you had been writing, like, your book. Like, how long did you, like, start or...
Well, I initially started it back in, like, eighth grade, but the motive of the whole book has shifted over those couple of years. So I finally decided, you know, settle on what I explained earlier, the whole kind of just dropping into their lap and changing their lives kind of thing.
Yeah, that's crazy. It sounds like it's a book. Like, it sounds like it's, like, something that I would pick up at the library and, like, scroll to, like, a random page and be like, oh, yeah, I'll read this one. Like, the way you read it, too, sounded very, like, an author reading a part of their book. Like, I don't know how else to really explain it, but it sounded very, like, I guess formal, but, like, in, like, a very, like, author-y way.
I don't even know what to say.
I was really going to agree with that. I was like, I don't know how to say it, but like, you sound so at home with your own writing style, and it's something I'm like honestly really jealous about because I struggle with that a little bit. And I just like, I kept thinking about like the specificity of like the descriptions you did, and like when you described his eyes like floodwater, I was like, oh, whoa. I was like, so I just really like, I thought the concept was, like, also super cool. I didn't get to say it before. But, just, like, the way you're writing, the way you're reading, it's, like, I just love the voice so much.
Thank you. I don't even know what to say. I'm giggling. Ooh.
When do you think you might finish your book?
Well, maybe by next year or the year after that. I'm kind of getting it all together. Yeah. I have all the ideas. I just need to, you know, get it down.
Let us know when you're a published author. We're gonna buy like 20 copies of your book.
Yeah. It takes a lot.
Send me your email. I'll get it to you.
It takes a lot of patience. It's got to take tons of patience. Well, we're going to have Everest finish up.
All right. I'm just going to start from the beginning. This is my story called The Boy. Right. There is fire. Oh, so much fire. He is not in his own eyes. The boy is, instead, in the eagle, soaring above, just low enough to feel the smoke through her feathers. He is in the grass, singed and covered in ash, feeling the warmth on his cheeks. He is in the walls, collapsing under the exposed rot and dissipating promise as they slowly burn away to nothingness. He is in the basement, pipe still dripping, without even a hint of what is lost. He himself is the fire, dragging everything into oblivion. Generations old and new in paintings on the wall, cobwebs in forgotten corners, rust under the sinks and basin, and a handcrafted crib to never be used. All will soon be forgotten as it drifts away in the growing flames, in the rising smoke, into dust. In the valley there is fire. Oh, so much fire. He is not in his own eyes. He cannot bear to see through them. He can only register the pounding of hooves, rushing men on horseback to salvage what is left, the commands thrown back and forth, who will fill the water, who will pour. People running, running out, running in. Over everything is the ringing in his ears, a film of blur in his eyes that won't seem to go away. Are you all right, he has asked. He cannot begin to answer. Are you all right, she asks again. He does not recognize her voice. He cannot hear her clearly. He does not hear through his ears. He can only hear through the eagle, too far to register, the grass, muffled in dust, the walls, surrounded by the hissing of fire, the basement, with its steady drip, drip, drip. He lived there at Brooksville House for 17 long years, raised to be the best man he could by his grandmother. He couldn't ask for a better upbringing. His parents were killed only weeks after his birth in a fire at Brooksville House. Ironic now. The house was strong, as Grandma said. It was full of enough heart to never fall. His family lived there for centuries, expanding the house and leaving new memories with each generation. Miraculously, the fire that killed his parents was contained only to their bedroom. A candle fell in the night, and the fire was out by morning. It never spread. Otherwise, there wasn't a scratch. The bedroom was never rebuilt. It pains him now that the fire originated in the very same room.
Wow. Beautifully read, and it's just pretty stunning. It's for a lot of reasons, especially.
I believe that it's so much of the emotion that frankly, it's how I would have read it. Like, the speed and just, like, the way that there's just so much happening, the best way possible, and read it that way. Freaking out, like, and then the way you read it just made it, like, match that perfectly.
Like,
I love
that
so much.
Yeah, okay. The way you kind of describe, like, when you're in that kind of situation, you're everything but yourself. You're up there, you're over there. You're just not with it, but you are.
That was... Yes, I wish I felt that, but didn't know how to express that.
Yeah, exactly the idea. Just trying to get across. Thank you.
I just want to see your child. Kind of going insane with your repetition. Like, the beginning, starting with, like, E, and just, like, the way you read it, and just, like, the rhythm, I guess, of the passage.
Yeah, I've very much so definitely, in my writing, try to have that rhythm, that, like, beat, like, sort of, that comes with, like, you know, I write music, and it's, like, the same sort of thing.
I was going to say, it makes complete sense that you wrote a musical comedy. Like, it all makes sense. Yeah.
And we got to hear a lot.
For fun, shout out to Hannah over in Ireland. I'll probably send her a clip of this.
Okay, Hannah. Shout out to you.
Shout out to Hannah.
Hannah might be listening.
She might be. On international channels.
We'll tell you more about it. There you've got another round of Ralph Lauren honorees. Ralph Mann's website. You can read more from them and learn more about them. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with a lot of talent, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU PFM Indiana, WNCO Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCBC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including facilityradio.org/radio.
Out in the country. Out in the country, gravel road to ramble all around. And the dust blow up till the cool rain tumble down. I'm a red-winged blackbird, singing on the fence. I'm a red-winged blackbird, sitting on the fence. White as the sand of day.
You wanna tip my heart in my- Listening to Anatomy of the Year, an annual event where we play our favorite genres for you. Tune in to Anatomy of the Year Friday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 a.m. here on WRCT Pittsburgh. Regular programming will return Monday morning. At Millie's, they say homemade ice cream, they mean it. Proudly handcrafted in Homestead, PA, right down the river from CMU, using only the finest ingredients from makers and farmers, from the cow to the cone. Grab a scoop milkshake or a pint to go at Millie's, located in Tepper Building. Interested in joining the Millie squad? Email hello@millieshomemade.com or DM us on the gram. Support comes from Sidecar Bakery in North Oakland. Whether you're looking for a casual place to study or a great place to meet friends, we are here for you. Always serving scratch-made pastries, a full coffee bar, and six packs to go in a cozy cafe setting. Open 7 to 7 Monday through Saturday and 8 to 2 on Sundays. And right now you're listening to K-pop and yeah, enjoy.
떨어뜨리면 좋을까 이런 맘은 또 처음이라 Up and down이 좀 심해 조절이 자꾸 다른데 하나 확실한 건 I don't play the game 우리 진짜 별나게 그냥 내가 너무 좋아해 넌 그걸 너무 잘 알고 날 착각해 나도 마찬가지인걸 우린 참 별나고 이상한 사이야 서로를 부서지게 우린 원래 이랬어 yeah. 들어지는 아마 It's hot, let me just hot 어떻게 널 다룰까 어쩔 줄을 몰라 너를 달래고 뺏어게 발로 차도 가끔 내게 미소 짓는 너 어떻게 놓겠어 오오. 우린 아름답고 참 슬픈 사이야 서로를 빛나게 해 You got me feeling like a
know, not the answers. But now they mean nothing, cause these all come meet here with something. Same when a year go through your pseudo. Jump jump the cousin and no money catching and four walls. So that and sick out a new walls. Keep it by children and new world.
마요 난 좀 다른 여자인 내 겉은 화려해도 아직 두려운 걸 You should know
I'm a good girl.
Oh, yeah.
21. It's been a long time coming, but we're here now. And we about to set the roof on fire, baby.
Uh-oh.
You better get yours, cause I'm getting mine.
I'm not afraid to I'm not 반드시 선이 더 날 불켜 손발 끝까지 걸어봐 달아오르는 지운 순간과 더 이상은 참을 수가 없어 나 이제 please baby be mine 혼자 있어도 너의 손길이 느껴져 하루 종일 나를 만져 빠져있는데 헤어날 수가 없어 너에게 달려갈 생각 뿐이었어 점점 더 빠져나가 점점 더 미쳐나가 점점 더 어떻게 나 baby
Hello, we're WRCT doing Anatomy of the Ear Weekend. At Millie's, when they say homemade ice cream, they mean it. Proudly handcrafted in Homestead, PA, right down the river from CMU, using only the finest ingredients from makers and farmers, from cows to the cone. Grab a scoop, milkshake, or pint to go at Millie's, located in the Tepper Building. Interested in joining the Millie's squad? Email hello at milliehomemade.com or DM us on the gram. Support comes from the Sidecar Bakery in North Oakland. Whether you're looking for a casual place to study or a great place to meet friends, we are here for you. Always serving scratch-made pastries, a full coffee bar, and six packs to go in a cozy cafe setting. Open 7 to 7 Monday through Saturday and 8 to 2 on Sundays. Okay, that's The Sound of Philadelphia by MFSB and the 3 Degrees. It's also the Soul Train theme, which I thought was appropriate since all of these songs, or most of them, would have appeared on Soul Train when they came out. Next up, we have Satisfaction Guaranteed by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. And Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes had the first disco hit with The Love I Lost in 1973. This is Satisfaction Guaranteed by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Satisfaction guaranteed, I'll take your love back. Satisfaction guaranteed, I'll take your love back.
just appear.